Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Just off the 18th green at TPC Boston, we're live at the Dell Technologies Championship, presented by Mick Ultra on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hardy and Christian Arcan live here at the Dell Technologies Championship, TPC Boston, Norton, Mass. Keegan Bradley, alone atop the leaderboard right now, 4-under through 9 holes. Looks like Chris Kirk has given one stroke back to par. John Rahm, Kevin Chappell, who I talked to yesterday at a player panel, really good guy. He's playing well. He's 3-under through 5. Jordan Spieth out there, playing well in his opening round here at the Dell. He is 2-under through 8. And, you know, everybody wants to know what Tiger's doing. This is a big deal. Tiger Woods, back at a tournament he's won before. This used to be his tournament as part of his foundation and part of what he did. Tiger had a rough start earlier today. I am unfortunately looking further and further down the leaderboard to see where he is. And he got one back. He started off with a bogey. He teed off on 10 today. And he made a bogey on the very first hole, apparently. From what I heard, somebody who was there snapped one out of bounds on his first shot of the day and made a couple other bogeys there on his first 9 holes, which is the back 9 of the golf course. Right now, after making bogeys at 10, 13, 16, which is the par 3, he birdied 17 and should be coming up 18 any moment. Oh, do you see all the crowds now, Christian?
I do.
So our broadcast,
I thought they were here for you, Hardy,
is right after you guys were down there. Is Tiger back there? Yeah, Tiger's back there.
Yeah.
So Tiger Woods coming close to us here on the 18th hole, where he's now at 2 over par for the tournament, just finishing off the first 9 of this tournament.
Think so, I could sneak into the kids' viewing zone when he gets there?
Yeah.
When he reaches the green?
Did you shave this morning?
I did.
Yeah. You could pass. Pass for 12. All right. Did you watch the Red Sox last night, Christian?
I did. Before we get to it, did you see Patrick Reed at Fenway last night?
Patrick Reed was not happy.
He was in the line drive zone, line drive section. I've never heard anyone call any part of the ballpark a line drive section before.
I don't know what this means, and we should do his post justice. It came on Instagram, and people were talking about it last night. So apparently, a bunch of guys went to the game last night. A bunch of golfers went there last night.
2 nights ago, yeah.
Yeah, Patrick Reed was among them. He was there with his wife and sister-in-law. And
not his parents, because he definitely doesn't hang out with them.
There's not a good relationship between Patrick Reed and his parents. He was very upset, though, over the seats that he was given.
Right.
And he posted to...
I hate when people give me free tickets and they're not what I want. Yeah, that's the worst.
He posted to Instagram about it. And he said that he was in the line drive zone.
The line drive zone?
Where would that be? Where's the line drive zone?
I have no idea. Anywhere could be a line drive zone, technically. But if you look at the picture, there's blue chairs. There's blue seats. Aren't those only in, like, the luxury boxes? That's not the line drive zone. That's like a foul pop-up zone. You know, like the line drive zone, I consider like, you know, behind the dugout or, you know, where the nets are. That sort of thing.
Okay, so here's the Twitter post. Thank you at PGA Tour for the tickets to the Red Sox game tonight. I love how you put my wife, sister-in-law, and myself in the line drive section. We paid $650 and ended up in the same section as the rest of the PGA Tour, hashtag front row. So then people said, you know what, but we paid $650. We're in dangerous line drive. Huh? What? And then Patrick Reed responded to somebody, we paid $650 to upgrade and then ended up with everyone else on the PGA Tour. And then people start responding, would love to see you eat a line drive. Line drives, you know, that's a risk you take at any baseball game. Someone else on Twitter, I can't find line drive section on the list of ticket seating options at Fenway.
Grandstand, monster seats, line drive section.
So, I mean.
Maybe it was his first game.
Yeah, he wasn't happy at being, I guess, being made to feel like he's playing second fiddle to, let's face it, Justin Thomas, I think, throughout the first pitch.
Okay.
You know, there's other guys who, and I got to say, I met Patrick Reed last year. He couldn't have been nicer.
Really?
He played the game. He came by to this, you know, tour player panel in front of a handful of sponsors, and I was moderating it with him last year, and he really couldn't have been nicer, but I guess, you know, sometimes you get upset over something, and especially if you're in mortal danger because you're in the line drive section.
Right.
I want to know where that is. They put up so much netting now at Fenway,
yeah.
which I don't know how you feel about that. I say, fine. You know, if it saves one three-year-old girl from being smashed in the face with a foul ball or
sure.
a bat, oh, well, you're going to have to look through the nets because
maybe that's what he was mad about, that the nets were in front of him. That he had to look through the nets. Maybe that's what he was bothered by. Even still, shut up, Patrick Reed. Like, really. No one wants to hear it from him.
Maybe.
But maybe that's what he was mad about.
Well,
that he had to look through the nets.
But where would you upgrade and pay $650 to go sit that's not in a net section?
All
the expensive seats, you're going to have nets in front of you.
Yeah, I would think. And also, I'm pretty sure you can't upgrade in-game. Like, you can't, during the game, go up and say, hey, I want better seats. So maybe he, like, cut a deal with some guy. I don't know. Like, whatever it was, it seems like it wasn't maybe all the way on the up and up. Because you can't just upgrade once the game starts. You can't go to the ticket window and say, I want better seats. They'll say, no, go back to the seats you paid for.
And this was a Marlins game, right?
Right.
Who took him for a ride and charged him $650 to upgrade his seats? I mean, I wouldn't think that a Marlins Red Sox ticket was a tough one to get.
No, probably not. And
like,
also,
look at this room.
And then they're
going to take him for all he's got.
They put him right back where the other golfers were too. So it was probably some other golfer or like the caddy or something. Was like, yeah, I got the hookup, man. Just $650. Here you go. And then they go this big circle. They sit back down right where they started.
Yeah, a lot of these caddies, they're not getting rich. They need to make money any way they can.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to begrudge them if it was somebody who paid for the upgrade. But anyway. Hopefully he felt better afterward, and he was no longer in the line drive section. Still trying to figure out where he was. You know what? I don't know that the reigning Masters champion is going to come sit down and talk with us at any point during the weekend. But if he does, we'll get to the bottom of it.
I'd like to
right
know what
here.
what that meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very mysterious.
And why did he thank the PGA Tour for tickets if he paid? He paid afterward. He was given tickets. He didn't like the tickets, and that's what he was complaining about. He was not given as good as seats as the rest of the people.
He seems like a really easygoing guy, doesn't he? He just seems like one of those devil may care, water off a duck's back kind of guys, you know?
I don't know that easygoing and Patrick Reed go together in the same sentence.
Not quite.
I swear.
Tiger just did something.
It sounded like maybe he missed a putt.
Maybe.
It was a, oh!
Yeah.
So maybe he missed a birdie or an eagle putt. And that's what the groan was all about. By the way, we're going to have to get to the Red Sox in the next segment, the actual team,
okay.
the
yeah.
game, because now we have lobster tweets coming in that we have to get to, too. Steve Hudson on Twitter says that I'm doing God's work right now because lobster is the most overrated food, not even close. Thank you for saying what needed to be said.
He's wrong. You're wrong. Both of you are wrong. Lobster's great. It's not even so much that like it's that much better than any other type of food, but there's just something about the taking it apart, the meat, like the tail at the end. I mean, there's just I love lobster. I could eat lobster every day. I honestly could.
You don't think you
if
would
I
get,
could afford to?
You don't think you would get sick of it?
No, I don't think so. I don't think I would.
It can't be
I think
good
I could
for
eat
you.
It every single day. I'm sure it's not, especially if you're. You know, dousing it in butter every time. But I think I could eat lobster every day if I wanted to.
Someone else said, sure, the Titanic was a tragedy for humans, but for all the lobsters on board, sweet, sweet freedom.
Yeah, true.
I don't know if that's true. Were lobsters like a delicacy at that time in history?
I know that lobsters at one time in history used to be like peasant food.
Yeah,
you know,
because
like
they're bugs.
Yeah, here
gross.
You go. Take the lobster. Eat the lobsters. But, like, yeah, I don't know about that in the times of the Titanic. That could go either way. I'm not sure. But yeah, that's true. The lobsters are like, ha! Watching everybody drown, swimming to freedom, going back down to the bottom of the ocean.
I mean, that would be a nice story if they were going down and, yeah, and the cooks and the chefs on board the Titanic had the wherewithal to say, you know what, this is going to be really bad, but let's give these little fellas another shot at life. The rest of us are going to die, but, you know, maybe this will give us some karma points.
Sure, maybe.
As we sink to our icy deaths.
Although, as I was sinking, I'd probably say, I'd probably think, you know what would be great right now? Nice big stuffed lobster. Last meal before I drown. That would be okay. Sorry, pal.
Ironically, that's the last thing you would want to eat, and they're getting away from you.
Yeah.
That's insult to injury if you're going down on the Titanic.
That would be.
All right. What were you talking about? Oh, yeah, Red Sox. All right, we'll do that next. Who pitched last night?
That would be, Rick Porcello. Rick Porcello.
I knew that. I was giving you a chance to sound knowledgeable and up to speed on things.
Well, you'll learn that that's a bad road to go down.
Okay, I shouldn't make that assumption anymore. Okay, Porcello and the Red Sox, another, it was an exciting way to win the game last night.
Sure.
But there are other things at stake with this team right now. We'll talk about it next.
On air and streaming on your phone, we're live at the Dell Technologies Championship at TPC Boston. Presented by Mick Ultra on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the Sports Hub app.
That was the groan we heard from the gallery.
Ah, okay.
As we are just, I don't know, 30 yards maybe from the 18 green. We can't see it. There's a grandstand in between us, but a big walkway here this year at the Dell Technologies Championship. Hardy, Christian Arcan at TPC Boston and Norton, Mass., where there's a kids' viewing zone right down by the 18th green this year. I tell you, they do more for kids and families at this tournament than I've seen anywhere else. So if you've got young kids and they want to be able to come out here and see Tiger Woods, they make it so that, all right, you don't have the right pass, you don't have the right height, you know, they don't want you. They do kids' viewing zones so you can go right down in front and you get an unobstructed view for the short people, mm-hmm, for the little people.
Right.
And we're seeing a ton of kids coming off of the kids' viewing zone here off of 18 right now where they just saw Tiger make par and I would say go out in 37, but he started on number 10 today. So really, he came in shooting a 37. Now he'll go back out and start his second nine on the first hole, going off in two waves today on both 1 and 10. And Tiger Woods right now 2 over for the tournament, which puts him 6 strokes off the lead. Last time I checked, held by Keegan Bradley. So that'd be a nice story. And I tell you what, Keegan Bradley's got a lot of people following him out
here. Yes, he does.
He's got a big following as he is like a Hopkinton guy and a New England guy. And a lot of people would like to see him do well. He is tied atop the leaderboard with Chris Kirk.
Gotcha.
So,
speaking of Tiger, a guy just walked by with Tiger's mugshot on his T-shirt, you know, from the DWI. And he said that he tried to get up in the gallery and that people were blocking him, like security like got in his way so the Tiger couldn't see the shirt.
What I don't understand is people who don't, if you don't want to root for Tiger, that's one thing. If you want to root for anybody else, Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson, okay, fine. What I don't understand are people who don't want him in the mix and in the hunt and close. If you are an
people who root against him, you don't get that.
People who root for him to, you know, not make any kind of comeback at all, not make the cut, not be out here at all. How can you argue against that Tiger Woods being here is inherently more interesting than when he's not here?
I think
it is
absolutely more interesting. Look at this crowd. I mean, yeah, of course it is. But I think that there's some people in the crowd who are watching secretly hoping, like with David Price in a lot of ways. You know, there's a lot of Red Sox fans want the Red Sox to win, but want David Price to do poorly, Jim Murray, and several other people. You know what I mean? Like, that's sort of, I think, where we're at with Tiger right now, too. The guy's had enough sort of ups and downs in his life where not everyone's a real fan anymore. Like, when I was in high school, everyone was a fan of Tiger Woods. Everybody loved him. It was unanimous. There was no dissent. It was just pure love from all sides. And now, you know, things happen over the course of a man's life when he makes that kind of money. And he's not quite the, you know, revered person anymore, but people still want to see him. He's still a big draw, no question about that. But, you know, people are out there maybe, you know, feeling a little bit of happiness when they see him bogey a hole or something along those lines.
I was talking about this with the, like, someone here this morning, one of the shuttle drivers, who said she saw Tiger Woods yesterday, and that was like the famous person that she saw. She was all excited. And I said, you know, in terms of fame, when he was, you know, at the height of his powers, mm-hmm. and he was, you know, the Tiger Woods that we all talk about, it's not that just he was famous. He was, by one account, the most famous person on the planet.
Yeah.
You would go, you know, go to China, go to the North Pole, go to the far reaches of South America, mm-hmm. right? And show a picture of the Pope, of, you know, the President of the United States, Michael Jackson, you know, pick somebody.
Yeah.
And Tiger Woods, more people were able to identify Tiger Woods as who he was and what he did than anyone else.
Yeah.
You know, it's a level of fame that not many people achieve as being, quote unquote, the most famous person on the planet. That's who he was. It's still a big deal. People just want to see him. And there are a lot of people who just want to see him in the hunt, in the mix, because it makes it more interesting. I go a step further.
It does.
I want to see him win a few more times, just even regular tournaments. I want to see him get himself back into the conversation of the greatest of all time. There are people who say it's the greatest player who ever lived. I myself, I got to give it to Jack Nicklaus mm-hmm. and his 18 major championships. However, if Tiger has already surpassed Jack in number of wins, right? PGA Tour wins, just sheer number of wins, not majors, just, you know, winning tournaments.
Yep.
He needs three more to pass Sam Snead.
All right.
Sam Snead is the winningest golfer of all time. If Tiger, with his 14 majors, second only to Jack, and he then passes Sam Snead in terms of just the most, the guy who won more than anyone else,
yeah.
when you're counting majors and all the tournaments, you got to put him back in the conversation.
I think
you didn't win as many majors as Jack, but he won more than anyone else. Don't you have to put him back in the conversation?
Sure.
You have to.
I think so. And it'd be good for the game if he's back in that conversation,
yes.
too.
Yes, you know. It would. All right. Rick Porcello has won more than any other pitcher of all time. He is the winningest starting pitcher.
More than Sam Snead.
In Major League Baseball history.
Yeah.
I don't think you didn't get the win last night. You get the win last night?
No. Brazier got the win later on in the game.
Brazier's got the win last night.
The big Brazil.
Okay.
He ended up getting it. Porcello wasn't good. I mean, he gave up 4 runs in 5 innings and 4 runs in the first 2 innings. And the other guy, the kid for Chicago there, was throwing a no-hitter for half the game. So, you know, last night, and I talked about this a little bit yesterday. I heard McCarthy talking about it on Felger and Maz yesterday, too. Last night was just another example of something that's been emblematic about this team all year long. Not just recently, all year long this team has had real problems with the bullpen. Not as big problems, but still problems with the pitching staff, the starting pitchers, and it all gets just completely glossed over because the offense is so good. And they do it against these bad teams, and everyone sort of gets, you know, they fall right into the, well, look, they never quit, they never say die, and it's true, they don't. The offense doesn't. But Rick Porcello tapped out quickly last night. The bullpen 2 nights ago, I mean, you can go down almost every single game this month, and with few exceptions, the bullpen's always given up runs. You're starting pitching when it hasn't been David Price, and now Price is out with that busted wrist. But, like, you know, when it hasn't been David Price, Porcello is Jekyll and Hyde. Brian Johnson sucks. Hector Velasquez sucks. Nathan Eovaldi sucks. Like, you got a real problem here with your pitching staff. But people don't want to acknowledge it because the team keeps winning.
Yeah.
And the team is winning. Yeah, they're beating the White Sox. They're beating the Marlins. They're beating the dregs of the American League, and that's fine. But when you get to the playoffs, you're not playing those teams. You're not getting this guy, whoever that guy was that came in and pitched the seventh inning last night and was just giving up bombs all over the place. The thing is, you don't know who these guys are. You don't know their names. You've never seen them before. I don't know who the White Sox setup man is. I don't know who the Marlins 8th inning guy is, because they suck. I mean, they're guys that are just getting thrown out there and say, just finish the season. Let's get through it here. Let's all get to the offseason and spend our money. That's what they want to do. And you're not going to meet those guys in October. You're going to have shut down 8th-inning guy, and the Red Sox are the only team that doesn't have one.
You're not going to have a pitcher who is foolish enough, or a manager who is just not paying attention enough to actually pitch to J.D. Martinez in a situation last night and allow him to give up a 3-run home run that gives you the insurance. I mean, it's just not going to happen. You can't count on situations like that in the postseason in order to get you wins. So, you know, It's not like this is a new thing.
Thiago Vieira was the guy last night. Five runs in two-thirds of an inning. Like, you're not going to see that guy.
No.
It's not going to happen. And I know the Red Sox can. The Red Sox this season, to be fair, have done it against good pitching. Okay, it's not like they only feast on these bad pitchers. They've done it against good pitching, bad pitching, medium pitching, whatever. They've done it against everyone. But in the playoffs, you know, you can't count on that. You can't rely on that to be the way that you win games in the postseason. It just doesn't work that way. You need to be able to hold a lead. You need to be able to get your starting pitcher has to be able to give you four or five, six innings at least. And that just doesn't seem like something you can count on right now.
All right, more on the Sox. And I finally got the phone screener, I think, figured out here.
Outstanding.
So we'll be able to take calls 617-779.
So they can tell us how great we sound.
0985. Now we do. Everything's fixed. Everything's
excellent.
Everything's hunky-dory. We are live at the Dell Technologies Championship, TPC Boston and Norton, Mass. More coming up with Hardy and Christian Arcand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub headlines.
Well, we get some breaking Patriots news at this hour. The Boston Globe reporting that the Pats are trading safety Jordan Richards to the Atlanta Falcons. Unknown what they'll get in return. Pats drafted Richards in the 2015 draft second round selection out of Stanford. Again, according to the Globe, Jordan Richards traded to the Atlanta Falcons. Now, the majority of Patriots starters did not play in last night's 17-12 win over the Giants at the Meadowlands. Pats will open up the regular season next Sunday in Foxborough against the Houston Texans. Red Sox winners over the White Sox last night in Chicago, and they got 9 unanswered runs after Rick Porcello was bailed out by the offense. He gave up 4 earned runs over 5 innings of work.
It's huge, especially after, you know, the hole that I dug us. Not a very good first inning. I was in grind mode after that, just trying to cover as much as I could without giving up any more runs. And, you know, our bullpen did a hell of a job not giving up any runs after the 5th. And our offense was fantastic late again, and that's what we needed.
Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez both with home runs in the win. Two teams back at it tonight in Chicago. Nathan Eovaldi will get the start. Red Sox 8.5-game lead over the Yankees for first in the AL East. Yankees today have reportedly acquired outfielder Andrew McCutchen from San Francisco, and also they're ready to activate Gary Sanchez off the DL this weekend. Round one of the Dell Technology Championship, Chris Kirk and Keegan Bradley tied atop the leaderboard at 4 under par. Jordan Spieth, John Rahm, and Ryan Moore all tied for second at 2 under par. Tiger Woods, he is 2 over through 9. Headlines are brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's new for $4 has more choices than ever. I'm Mike Riley. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
The top 100 golfers in the world are spending their Labor Day weekend at TPC Boston.
And we are too.
The Dell Technologies Championship.
Presented by Mick Ultra.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You take a lot of pride in how you win games. I mean, you know, kind of stole one today and just showed, you know, it shuts down for all 9 days. It's not just half of the game.
I was very concerned about getting the call screener back up and running here. We're live in the Dell Technologies Championship. Hardy, Christian Arcand, TPC Boston, Norton, Mass. A few technical difficulties at the start of the show, but the crack team here in Norton got everything fixed. You know, and it was wonderful to see everybody working in concert. The Beasley Communications people, the NBC Sports Boston people, all coming together as one for the common good. And now that the call screener is back up too, we can finally get calls about lobsters.
Thank God. Well-oiled machine over there.
That's what they want to talk about. I mean, we're going to give the people what they want.
Okay.
Sean on the Cape, what's going on, Sean? The lobsters died in a tragic traffic accident, and I say no big deal because lobster, not that great to begin with. What do you think?
It is overrated. I used to pull lobster traps. I pull 30 lobster traps 3 times a week. I've had lobster any which way you can think. It is overrated. But if you are going to have it, Jasper White's pan-fried lobster is awesome.
I've had that. That is delicious. The man is not telling a lie right there. Pan roasts these lobsters. It's soaked in butter. It's delicious. Oh, it's so good.
Is this a restaurant or
Jasper White Summer Shack?
Yeah, Jasper White Summer Shack. Yeah. The other thing about Tiger guys, and I actually just played at Hyannis in Hyannis.
Yeah.
And a Tiger, I actually feel sorry for the guy. You know, I used to be ABT, anybody but Tiger. And now, as long as he doesn't catch Jack, you know, I hope that he does well. It'd be good to see him, and it's great for the sport for if he gets back into it.
Well, you see the ratings, you see the crowds, and thanks for the call, Sean.
Sean, don't feel bad for Tiger.
Well, like, never feel bad for somebody with a yacht or a jet. Yeah, never pity anybody who has...
Save the sympathy for people more deserving, I feel like.
No, I think for the sport, though, it's unquestionable. And the guys who are out here playing, they say when Tiger is out there and he's doing well, you can tell where he is on the golf course mm-hmm. by the sound of the crowd. You know, yeah. No pun intended, the Tiger roars.
Right.
Right? And a Tiger birdie and a Tiger eagle, it just sounds different. It's like, oh, he must be on number 8 because I can tell from the reaction of the crowd over there. That's what happens. Somebody else gets a hole-in-one on 16. It's the same level of reaction you'll get when Tiger makes a birdie somewhere yeah. else and starts climbing up the leaderboard. Jordan Spieth, who never had to compete against Tiger up until now, mm-hmm. he's at the British Open. He's got the lead. You know, Jordan Spieth is looking at things, or excuse me, at one of the most recent tournaments, it must have been the British, where he's up there and he looks at the leaderboard and he sees Tiger possession is now in sole possession of first place. And he's like, oh, my God, now I finally get it. And he said it took his caddy to say, hey, snap out of it. You've won major championships. What are you doing? You know, you're supposed to be the man.
Right.
But even a guy who's never played with him, he sees the name up there alone in first place on the back nine of a major Sunday. And even he still gets affected by it.
Yeah.
Guys out here, even ones who never played with him before, they're not immune to that effect that he has on the other players, on the crowds, on the TV ratings. It's a thing.
Yeah.
And it hasn't gone anywhere.
And they can beat him now, too. Like, in the beginning, you couldn't beat Tiger. Like, it was like playing the computer, you know, like it on expert. And no one ever beat him. He made every putt, he had every drive. Like, it was every single shot was perfect.
Well, that's what guys like Phil and Jim Furyk, who are still out here and are still competing, mm-hmm. they tell the younger guys who say, wow, now I know what it's like. And they say, no, 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 you don't.
Yeah.
Because when they were teeing it up week in and week out when Tiger was, you know, in his prime, they said it wasn't a question of thinking he was going to win. It was knowing that you couldn't beat him.
Right.
You knew on Thursday when you're putting the peg in the ground, first tee shot of the tournament, if Tiger's here and he's playing well, there's nothing I can do to beat him. He's just so much better
yeah.
than everyone else. And it would just require your very best game and for him to fall off a bit. But my best game versus his best game, it's not even a conversation. The guy won the U.S. Open by 15 shots.
Yeah.
You understand me?
I do.
12 under par at Pebble Beach back in 2001. Second place.
That's serious.
Christian, look at me.
Okay.
Second place.
Yes.
3 over par.
Okay.
12 under, 3 over.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a different game he was playing.
Yeah.
And you know what he did after he won that tournament?
What?
I got to retool my swing. The only reason why I won by that much is because I had to hit a lot of risky shots, and I got lucky that they ended up okay. I didn't have enough. I didn't have enough shots at my disposal because my swing would only allow me to hit it one way, which was attacking the pin on every shot.
Yeah.
And it worked out for me.
Worked out good.
Can you imagine?
No.
It's ridiculous.
I can't.
All right, Mark in Medford wants to talk about lobsters. Yeah, we talked about golf for 15 seconds. I should be happy. Go ahead, Mark. Hey, you're on with Hardy and Arcan. What do you got?
I got a lobster comment and a golf comment, actually.
Yeah. Oh, good.
First off, you're saying lobsters are gross and they're the scavengers of the sea and blah, blah, blah.
Mother
you
bucks.
Know, like, all that crap that they eat goes into the pot of lobster that we don't eat. You know
what's
that?
Right? What do you mean?
It goes in the body. We eat the claws and we eat the tail.
Right.
We don't eat the body.
True.
But growing up in an Italian
sometimes
home,
you get some roe. Sometimes you get that red roe. Oh, right. Wow, delicious.
Amale,
but yes, go ahead.
Amale.
Right.
Yep, we grew up in a home where we did put the body in the Italian gravy in the sauce just for the flavor.
And oh, yeah?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Just let the body simmer in the gravy, and you just take the body down, throw them away. It's like almost having an Italian lobster bisque. It's actually
interesting.
Pretty good.
Sounds good. That sounds tasty. I try that.
It is. My golf comment is, I'm looking forward to the Thanksgiving weekend with Tiger versus Lefty. I'm going to pay $25 to watch it. to go watch them play for $9 million, mano a mano. I think that'll be good. Plus, with the side bets, and they're going to be mic'd up, I think that's going to be interesting.
I'm going to watch for sure. And by the way, I misspoke. It was 2000 when Tiger Woods finished the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach at 12 under par. And there was a tie for second place.
That's embarrassing.
There was a tie for second between Ernie Els and Miguel Angel Jimenez. They were both 3 over par. But yeah. I had the scores right, just the wrong year.
Yeah, you were close.
$25 for that? Absolutely. I don't buy pay-per-view sporting events. I've never bought a wrestling pay-per-view.
Didn't buy McGregor Mayweather?
McGregor Mayweather. No, a buddy of mine bought it, and I went over to his house and watched it.
And didn't pay him back? Didn't
What was the big one before that? Mayweather Pacquiao?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Zoe bought that and held up the FaceTime on his phone, and I watched it, which is illegal, I'm sure. Right? That's probably illegal?
It's both illegal and a little sad.
Statute of limitation. What? That thing was like $90 or something.
Yeah, but on FaceTime, like you're watching the screen on the FaceTime. I don't know.
It was awesome. No, he set his phone up and he pointed it at his TV like that. And I sat there with my phone and watched it. It was perfect.
Okay.
It was a great way to do it.
That sounds perfect.
But no, this is one that I will buy. And if had it been $50, $60, $100, it doesn't matter. It's Tiger versus Phil. Mm-hmm. It's at a golf course, which... I know people have played it. You and I could go play it tomorrow if we wanted to.
Which one is it?
Shadow Creek in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Maybe not tomorrow because they only do tee times about every 30, 45 minutes. You'll never see anyone in front of you. You'll never see anyone behind you. You have to be staying at the MGM Grand or one of their properties.
In order to play.
In order to play, okay. You have to be limoed to and from the course. No one is allowed to drive themselves to or from the golf course.
Wow.
It's part of the experience. It's part of the rule. It's part of the way they ensure that you are a guest of the hotel.
Huh.
It's about $500 for the green fee. But once you're out there, it's phenomenal. It is and everyone who plays it says the same thing. You're in the middle of the desert. You drive off the strip. You drive about 20, 30 minutes. There's nothing. You walk in the gates, and all of a sudden, there's old-growth Carolina pines.
Wow.
You know, there's waterfalls. There's flowers. There's all this stuff that you don't see anywhere else, anywhere around Las Vegas. But Steve Wynn, when he built this place, that the phrase that they used over and over again was spare no expense.
Interesting.
Spare no expense, spare no expense. And they built this beautiful oasis in the desert. So a phenomenal golf course by all accounts. So it's a chance to see that. It's a chance to see these guys mic'd up and loosened up. They're not going to have restrictions of broadcast TV. They're playing for an obscene amount of money that neither one of them needs. And
Tiger's going to untuck his shirt. How loose are we talking?
Maybe wear shorts. I don't know. But here's what I really want, all the side action.
Yeah.
Like people say, well, what if it gets out of hand early and Tiger's, you know, up 7 through the first 9 holes and it looks like he's going to put it away? Well, then they start getting really stupid. Okay, it looks like you're going to win this thing. How about if we do $1 million longest drive right here on this next hole?
Okay.
Let's see these degenerates get degenerate. Let's see these guys lose their minds because they're both, like, obscene gamblers.
They are, yeah.
I mean, Phil Mickelson, for as many great things as he does, many people like him. Let's face it. The guy's got some issues with gambling.
He does.
I think that's I don't think I'm telling tales
out of
school
here. And, like, insider trading, too, right? Wasn't that a thing with him?
Yeah. Some people say he should be in prison. I don't know. If Phil stops by and talks to us over the weekend, I'll ask him about it.
We should ask him about that.
Phil, Billy Walters is in prison for the little scheme you guys did. Some people say you should be next to him.
That poor schmuck on the Cleveland Browns just got cut because he was insider trading.
People go to jail for it.
Yeah.
Phil's out here playing this weekend in Boston. I don't know. These are things I'd like to ask him, but more importantly, a guy who's willing to do that on a golf course and to go do insider stock trading to pay off $1 million gambling bet, I want to watch that guy gamble while he plays golf.
Oh, definitely.
That's entertainment.
High stakes.
Who wouldn't want to watch that?
His freedom's at stake.
Yeah. Well, no, he's not playing for his parole.
Well, maybe not, but not yet.
Playing for other things. Okay, we'll continue taking your phone calls here, 617-779-0985. We have Patriots news that we can get to a little
yes.
bit. Not a shocker, but things that are, as the team starts to take shape, as the 53-man roster becomes closer and closer to its announcement, the cuts will be made and all that stuff. We'll get to all of it here. And we have a contest that you can win. I promise you, your chance at winning this contest happens next year on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
On air and streaming on your phone. We're live just off the 18th green at TPC Boston. Dell Technologies Championship. Presented by Mick Ultra. On 98.5 The Sports Hub and the Sports Hub app.
Hardy and Christian Arcan here, and it's a special Labor Day weekend edition of Feed the Fan Fridays, presented by Stop and Shop, official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Caller 10, Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. It's a $100 Stop and Shop gift card to feed their Labor Day weekend cookout. Stopandshop.com. It's caller 10, the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. This hour of the Dell Technologies broadcast brought to you by New England Copy Specialists. So we are here at the Dell Technologies Championship where we saw a big wave of fans coming through here because there was a group of golfers here, Christian Arcan.
Yes.
Talk about like the creme de la creme. Mm. You know, we had a wave of guys come through here a little while ago, and it started with the Tiger Woods group. He was playing with Mark Leishman. That's all right. Right after him, Dustin Johnson.
Ooh, is Paulina here?
Paulina Gretzky?
Yeah.
I knew you would ask, and I do not know.
Well.
But if I spot
some
her,
help you are.
I will be sure to let you know.
If I spot her, you'll know.
She was not out with him yesterday, guys. I was watching Dustin for a while, and I didn't see her at all.
Oh, and believe the captain, because if there's anybody who's creeping looking for a Paulina Kresge, it's Sean the Captain McElroy.
Yes, it is.
Count on you for that type of stuff, Captain. Thank you. DJ Justin Thomas and Bryson DeChambeau, who is playing very well lately. Bryson is the guy who wears the Hogan cap. He's got the all one-length irons, has the very stiff-looking swing without a lot of hinges in it. He is a physics nut. Everything is all math and physics with him. After that group...
Sounds like a fun guy to party with.
Good times. After that group, it was Jason Day and Bubba Watson.
Okay.
And then he had former champion out here when it was still the Deutsche Bank Championship, Charlie Hoffman. He was in the group after that. So there were a lot of guys coming through there in that wave, which is why we saw just huge crowds coming through. But I tell you what, the people out here today are enjoying themselves because it is about 70-something degrees. There's
nice
a nice breeze.
Perfect.
I mean, if you've been outside today, you already know that the weather is broken. It's going to be like this again tomorrow, a little warmer on Sunday. Monday is going to be a hot one. I don't think there's any way around that right now. That's what it's looking like. But that's where things are headed for this weekend here at the Dell Technologies Championship. We're going to get back into the Patriots starting here again at noon.
Okay.
You have any thoughts or comments on the Jordan Richards deal to the Falcons, I believe?
I don't even know what the Falcons gave back, but I feel like they lost the trade somehow, no matter what. Even though you don't, I think it was a conditional seventh-round pick, so you're not even really sure if you're getting that seventh-round pick, and somehow the Falcons acquiring Jordan Richards is a detriment to them. Another great draft pick there, by the way. Second-round pick was Jordan Richards, I think. Like, Jesus. You got him. They're cutting Vincent Valentine, who was a third-round pick. Malcolm Brown, who was a first-round pick. They're talking about trading for, you know, wide receiver X because the guy can't beat out Lawrence Guy. I mean, it's not like it's one thing to sort of harp on just the misses, you know, and I understand that people do that. But when they're all misses, like, what are you supposed to do? How do you ignore that? You got Sony Michel maybe going on IR. Isaiah Wynn is on IR. Cyrus Jones stinks. Derek Rivers missed all last year. Jordan Richards, your second-round pick. Malcolm Brown, first-round pick. Like, it goes on and on and on and on all the way back to, like, 2013. And beyond that, even. I mean, the last really good draft was, what, 2010 with Gronk and Devin McCourty? Like, you got a problem here. And it's just, it seems to be getting worse. Now, yeah, great. You get a seventh-round pick back for Jordan Richards. Terrible return for a second round pick, but that's about what you can expect. Now, I'll tell you who this is good news for. Jason McCourty, you're trading away one of your safeties. All right, well, now maybe you got a place for McCourty to play. But that, to me, is like, you know, who the hell cares about Jason McCourty? Like, here, you have a problem with this team. There's no young talent, like, at all. And the few young guys they have, Shaq Mason, they locked them up, so good on you there. But, I mean, it's brutal. You don't just keep getting away with this. You can't just keep doing this over and over again every year and having these draft picks miss and then just say, well, they're the Patriots. It's Tom Brady. They're just going to keep on winning. Eventually, it catches up to you. And, Hardy, you don't have to go back that far. 06, 07, those were two bad drafts right in the row. That was the Maroney draft and the Brandon Merriweather draft. And then 09? Okay, what happened in 09? They lose in the first round to the Baltimore Ravens on that Ray Rice play. And then in 2010, they lost to Mark Sanchez and the Jets. Like, it was, it happened. There's a tangible effect of what happens when you don't draft well or when your draft picks don't pan out and all of a sudden you're stuck with a bunch of old guys and no one to really fill in for them when they leave.
It is sad when you retell the story of that game and what was that, first play from scrimmage?
Yeah.
They lost on the first play
from
scrimmage.
Right, right. And you know what else?
Boom. Goodbye.
I wasn't working at the other station either. I won tickets to that game on Toucher and Rich.
Get out of here.
I swear to God. True story. I was working at this tiny little station in Norfolk, Mass. I was doing, like, you know, headline. It was like a news station. I was doing the headlines.
There's
in the
a
morning.
Radio station out of Norfolk, Mass?
Not anymore.
Okay.
the actual building
was
condemned. Yeah.
I worked there too, Christian.
At WDIS?
Yes, and I believe Holly Sylvester did too.
Oh, my God. Wow. Okay. Well, there you go. It's gone now. The building was condemned. It doesn't exist anymore. But I was leaving one morning, and Toucher and Rich was on. They did. It was right before the playoffs started. It's like 10th caller or something. I call up. Adolfo answers. And I won. And so me and my brother went to that game, and it was the worst game ever because they lost on the first play.
Did the station...
seats were lousy, by the way.
Wait a second. Did the station go off the air because the building was condemned, or did the station go off the air first and then the building was condemned?
I don't know, actually. I don't know what the...
Because that would be a hell of a way
before.
For a station to go away. It's like, we'd like to keep broadcasting. We have people here. We have microphones and everything. But the building is simply uninhabitable. Therefore, you can't have a radio station anymore.
I'm not sure what the sequence of events was, but yeah. I know that it's no longer in service.
Well, it was an interesting history, a nice look back. Thank you for that.
You're
Christian.
Welcome.
All right, more on last night's preseason game. Really, more about what's going to be coming up in week one of the regular season, as the Patriots are now done with the preamble to this season, and they got to look forward. And was there anything from last night that you saw that tells you anything about this team? 617-779-0985. 90 seconds here, no commercials, and then it's hour number 3 of our broadcast from the Dell Technologies Championship here in Norton, Mass. On 98.5 The Sports Hub.